2 weeks ago from last, or a week ago from tomorrow, we celebrated the Feast of Weeks, better known as the Feast of Pentecost. Pretty fresh in our mind, right? And prior to this, we had that opportunity to observe and participate in Passover, the celebration representing the serving one another in humility during the foot washing ceremony and the partaking of the symbols of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. After which we shared the Feast of Days of Unleavened Bread, giving us the opportunity to seek and root out the leaven of sin in our lives. This is new to us. We've heard this. We've been there. But these days of observance not only represented the Israelites coming out of bondage in Egypt, but more importantly, our coming out of bondage in the carnal, godless society we must live in every day. It gets more godless every day. If you just look around us, listen to what we hear, look to what we see, it's getting more so and more so. The Feast of Pentecost represents the harvesting of the spring first fruits. This physical harvest of the spiritual first fruits, which Jesus Christ is the first, which was discussed on the day of Pentecost. This sounds a little redundant maybe, but that's okay. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Not only this, he provided a way to obtain this thing called everlasting life. I won't turn there, but how do we do this? First, look at Matthew 6:33. This is so simple, but we make it hard. Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek first and foremost, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." On all these things, another time will be another message. But in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Is long-suffering or extremely patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Repentance of what? Excuse me. Sin. But what is sin? Sin is a transgression or the breaking of God's law. God's law in 1 John 3:4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness." And sin is lawlessness. Repentance is not merely just saying, "I'm sorry," and going on about what you've always done, the same way as you've always done it, but rather a change of one's attitude and conduct, that we may be converted or in reality turned around. When a message for this is called About Face. Anybody in the military knows what that means, right? About face, you turn your direction, go the other way. That's what God wants us to do. Now guess what? Still there's more. In Acts 2:37, "Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent,'" in other words, turn around, "'and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins.'" Hebrews 9:14, I'll just read it, tells us that Jesus' sacrifice, which we formally accept upon baptism, cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Meaning through repentance and baptism, we receive forgiveness and no longer should feel guilty for our past sins. I won't ask for hands, but how many in here still feel guilty for past sins? We keep bringing them up. Sometimes those sins keep following us. no matter how hard we try to get them, they keep haunting us, if you want to call it that. But they're forgiven. Just don't drag them back out. It's like digging up bones, you know. Don't need to do that. Continuing in Acts 2:38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, if he is leading us to eternal life in the kingdom of God. Huh. If you'd like a deeper study, we have a booklet here. It's called Transforming Your Life. Transforming Your Life, the Process of Conversion. Conversion is a process. It's not just after you've been baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, that's it. It's a lifetime commitment, a lifetime work. But what was that we should receive? It's a gift. God's Holy Spirit is a gift. It's nothing that we can earn. We can't earn. We can't just obey God forever and ever and earn it. It's a gift that God gives us. But we had to do something to receive that gift. It's not just given to us because God loves us. He could do that, but he doesn't do it. This gift comes, the expectation from God and the responsibility from us. This gift is more valuable than anything on earth could ever be, more precious than gold or silver or all the money in the world. All the money in the world cannot buy that gift. The Spirit of God convicts our conscience and helps us to see sin as it really is. We just dig it out, you know? Just like the parable of the talents. Let's turn there to Matthew 25. Verses 14 through 30. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. God knows our ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went out and traded with them, made another 5 talents. And he went on to trade them, and likewise he who received 2 gained 2 more talents. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground. And hid his Lord's money. After a long time, we don't know how long a long time is. It's just like when Christ comes back. After a long time, I lost my place here. The Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents along with him. Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more. You know, the talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also who received 2 talents came and said, look, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, so enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received 1 talent, just 1, said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not spread seed. And I was afraid, and went out and I hid your talent in the ground. Look there. You have what's yours. But the Lord answered him and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you know that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. I didn't even bother doing that. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. The more we grow in God's Spirit, more will be given to us. And who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'd ask you to read this again on your leisure time. Also, you may read this account in Luke 19, verses 12 to 27. We go to Luke 12, 32, if you want to turn there. I'll just read it. It's just a short. That's Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Revelation 20, verse 6. It reads, blessed and holy is he who has part in that first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Can you just picture that? We can't even picture 1,000 years, really. Go back in history. Our country has been barely over about 200 and some years in existence. Look how we've messed it up. Think if we had it for 1,000 years. We couldn't make it. Please turn with me again to Matthew 25. We're going to read verses 31 through 34. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on his throne of his glory. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Remember, the Father and the Son, or Jesus Christ, have been working from the foundation of the world to give us the greatest gift ever, eternal life in the kingdom of God. So please let us use it, the Holy Spirit, to produce the fruits of the Spirit, which you can read in Galatians 5:22. I won't turn there. We need to be building on those. How? Through prayer and Bible study. Occasional fasting, as we see the need, and especially serving one another. We need to be serving one another, especially as days get closer to the end. Between now and the next holy day of the Feast of Trumpets, which represents Christ's coming or return, let's be developing more of God's Holy Spirit by using it to the fullest extent of our ability, not hiding it. Not being like once saved, always saved. It doesn't work. You need to use God's Holy Spirit to grow in His grace and grow in His character. Then let us hear those words, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In closing, again, remember what it says in Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It'll be a blessing.